Chapter 18. They missed the armed band until they were face to face. Eight heavily armed brigands in scale and chainmail, with good swords at their sides, seemed to spring from the trees to surround them. Two had shields. Pox clawed for the blade slung over her shoulder. Kana had no time to string the bow. She was grabbed from behind and wrestled to the ground. Pox found herself facing three men who circled to get behind her. Her longsword gave her a better chance than Sabin's curved one, but not much. She backed a step, glancing around. Kana was heaving and pitching under two of the men, and Sabin fenced frantically with three opponents. She parried thrusts of two blades at once and dodged the third. One man tried to get behind her again. She backed quickly, unable even to look behind. Pox heard a hoarse cry from Sabin, then Kana, "By Saint Gerd!" Again she retreated. And again, Kana yelled, "Pox, run! Run for it!" Just as Pox backed another step, and the ground gave way beneath her. She tucked her head and tried to roll as she tumbled down a high bank of earth and leaves into a shallow stream. Above her was a roar of laughter, voices, and the squelch of wet leaves as someone started to follow her down. She forced herself up, stumbling on a loose stone, and fell again. But her vision had cleared, and she saw the single pursuer, picking his way carefully down the slope. He was only halfway and testing his footholds. Pox gathered her legs under her, then realized she had dropped the sword in her fall. No wonder he wasn't in a hurry. Then she remembered Kana's words. She looked around. Above her, the ruffian chuckled at her evident fright. That way, she decided, upstream. Taking two quick breaths, she hurled herself into a run along the creek bed. The brigand shouted and threw his sword at her. It missed her by a foot, but she did not stop to grab it. Behind her came other shouts. She ran as fast as she could, watching her footing. After 50 yards or so, the creek banks were not so steep, and she scrambled up the south bank and set off through the woods. She heard arrows thunking into the trees around her, but none touched her. After the first frantic spurt, she settled into a steady run, wondering if the brigands had horses. She was not sure of her direction. Darkness closed in around her. She slowed to a jog after several falls, but kept going. She could not stop. She swung right, back toward the road. When she could not run anymore, she slowed to a walk, gulping for air. Wet ferns whipped her legs, vines tripped her. Somewhere she lost her cloak, and she was wet through. "Keep moving," she thought. "Keep going." When she came to the road at last, it surprised her. For a moment, she could not think what it was, or why she had wanted to find it. The rain had stopped. The road was just visible against the solid dark of the trees. Pox turned and walked beside it, just out of the mud. She got her breath back and began running again. Kana's cry rang in her head. And Sabin. What had happened to Sabin? She found herself running faster and sobbing as she ran. After some time, she realized she was no longer running beside trees. The forest was behind her. She stumbled into a brimming ditch beside the road and scrambled out on the wrong side. It didn't matter. She settled back to a jog and went on. The fields were soft with rain. She staggered when she hit the deeper mud of plowland. Her thighs ached. She slowed to a walk. The night grew lighter. She hoped for dawn, but looked up to see the clouds blowing away and stars shining between them. At last, she saw the twinkling watchfires ahead. She forced herself into a run again, terrified that something, even now, would come upon her before she reached the Duke. By the time she hit the outer guard perimeter, she was staggering with weariness. "Halt!" came a shout from before her. Pox stopped and stood, swaying slightly as she gasped for breath. She heard the squelch of footsteps approaching.
"Who's there?" demanded the guard. "Give the password."
She could not recall what the password had been weeks ago when they left for Dwarf Watch. Surely it had changed by now. Besides, she had no breath for speech. A hard hand gripped her arm and shook her. "Speak up there. Who are you?"
"Duke Phelan's company," she managed. "Must see the Duke."
"At this time of night? Sober up, soldier. What'd you do? Go off on a tear and get lost?"
Someone brought a torch near. She could see the polished armor of the guard who held her.
"Terzgut, you're a disgrace," he said disgustedly. "Duke Phelan's company. I don't believe that. His people don't wallow in filth." "Is that a bandage, Sim, on the left arm?" asked another voice. "Who can tell?" grumbled the first. "Are you hurt?" he bawled at Pox.
"Just a cut," she said.
Her voice shook.
"Please, I must get to the Duke now. It's important."
"You've missed roll call, if that's what you mean," said the first guard. "That was hours ago. They won't thank you for showing up now." "Well, but Sim, we don't want this mess in our area either. Let the Fulani take care of it, if it's theirs." "I don't know what it is. Do you think that was ever his uniform?" "It might have been. We'll be in trouble if it is, and we don't—" "All right, all right. You take it. Her, over then, if it concerns you so. Ter's bones. I hate to be seen near such a ragbag. If it is the Duke's, I don't know what he's coming to."
"Please," said Pox.
Her legs were trembling under her, and she was afraid she might faint.
"Please, we must hurry. It is important, and the Duke must know."
The second guard grabbed her arm and swung her ahead of him. "Don't tell me what I must, not when I don't know who in thunder you are. We'll go, but at my pace." Pox found even that hard to sustain, as they threaded their way between tents toward the Duke's perimeter. At last, they were challenged by a voice she knew. She started forward, but the guard pulled her back. "Not so fast," he said. He raised his voice. "It's me, Arver of the Sorellan Militia, with someone who claims to be one of yours. Came in on our north perimeter, dirty as a miner, and no good tale to tell."